Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
This is Jim Boyle, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
So, Jim Boyle, one of our Kickstarter backers, to introduce episode 502. We can now keep a count because we've had 500. We can just keep going. Here on The Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We come to you before midnight. Catherine Whittaker, I can barely believe I'm saying that, after our 2, 3am epics of previous nights. The reason for that is we are currently midway through the evening session here, and we thought what we would do is just sum up what's gone on so far and talk about our impressions of Serena Williams and Simona Halep, which is a set and 4-all. For in the favour of Serena Williams.
I think, but she's just gone 5-4,
yeah.
Halep, which is... bit of a... Oh, no, sorry. 4-15. It's a triumph, really, because she was a breakdown at the start of this... Yeah, she has gone 5-4. Breakdown at the start of this second set, I think 2-1, Williams serving. And it looked like, you know, could have been over all too quickly.
And actually, Halep won the first game of the match. She broke Williams, and then six games in a row. And
which is exactly the same pattern as the Zverev-Raonic match.
Oh, goodness me, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, bizarre.
Because Zverev got the first break on the board. And, I mean, what happened?
And then
what happened to him?
It took him until, I think it was 6-1. He was 6-1, 2 love. So at that stage, he hadn't held serve.
Yeah.
This is a man whose serve we waxed lyrical about at length. Just, what, I don't know, how long was it ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
A bit less? When he won the World Tour Finals. I mean... Yeah, I digress from Halep Williams. She's just held for 5-4. They're having a sit-down. She's having a long... she's having a big exhalation of breath, Halep. But, yeah, real triumph of stickability that she's still in this.
Well, the head-to-head between these two is 8 out of 9 wins. 8 out of 9 matches Serena Williams has won. Now, obviously, they haven't played for 3 years. Halep is a better player now. But there is still... there is a discrepancy in power... And when Serena Williams is on, I mean, that's the question mark. Is she on? Is she moving well enough? Well,
looks on to me.
She was in that first set. I mean, you know, she's just teeing off. And
she hasn't played a world number one since 2013.
Oh, really?
Serena Williams. I mean, she's largely because she's been the world number one for that time. But I think she's loving the opportunity to play a world number one and to make a point.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I know, I guess you could argue there isn't a point to be made because Halep herself has said... I think Serena's the world's best player. Yeah.
And we had the comical moment right at the start of the match where the players are introduced out onto the court and they said, the world number one, and Serena Williams walked straight out and then suddenly realised and turned back and looked absolutely appalled at herself.
And then,
you know,
but
horrified.
It ended up with Simona Halep walking out, literally. I mean, she was guffawing, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was laughing her head off.
And I thought, oh, this is a good sign. She's relaxed. She's obviously got a nothing to lose attitude out here. But and she probably did, but Serena's just too good. Just you know, Serena's in that kind of form.
I'm not sure
anyone would have. It's 4-5 love 30.
Well, it's the what I like about Halep is how she's competing. Just generally, whatever and we end up with as a result for this match, she seems to be like a happy. Space really on court. She doesn't look full of anxiety the way she sometimes does. You know, she actually seems to have taken a bit of pressure off herself in a way.
Yeah, I mean, even though she doesn't see them or certainly doesn't articulate them to us, I think there are positives for her in not having a coach. I think, you know, her being accountable only to herself. I think there are, yeah. I think there are, I mean, she obviously sees negatives in that, which I'm sure are there, but I think there are good aspects of it. She's keep being you, Simone Halep.
Yeah, yeah. And I think as well, because we sometimes have talked about players that have been world number one over the years and not won a slam. And Caroline Wozniacki, one of those that banished that a year ago. But it was so palpable the way the pressure lifted from Simona Halep once she got to number one and once she won a slam. You know, it is almost as though it doesn't really matter now. This is playing with the house's money. She still wants to succeed, but look what sort of player we've got now that she is liberated without that pressure heaped on her shoulders.
Set point Halep.
Yeah. The match you referred to earlier on today with Alexander Zverev was so shocking.
Mm.
He was 6-1, 6-1 down, and it was very similar to Burdick and Nadal yesterday.
It was humiliating. It was humiliating, but I mean, Burdick at least can take the positives of having, in most people's eyes, outperformed expectations by even reaching that match. Alexander Zverev is seriously not doing that. And hey, look, you know, there were a few people around here that thought Raonic had a chance at the very least today. Some people, David, were predicting a Raonic victory.
Right.
But I'm not sure anybody thought it would be a humiliation for the world number four.
Yeah.
Which is, Halep's taking the second set, by the way.
Yeah.
One set point, took it, boom. It was a humiliation. I know he rallied in that third set and took it to a tiebreak, but I was about to say questions to answer, but he was asked those questions and didn't really answer them in the press conference afterwards, which was attended by Mary Carrillo, because she was so eager to sort of get a feel for his demeanour, really, because he's chippy and defensive at the best of times. He managed to just about hold himself back.
Yes.
From being really, you felt like it could have gone that way with the right questions, but to be on the fly on the wall with Ivan Lendl,
it did look like Zverev decided, I'm just going to get through this press conference. I'm not going to be interesting. I'm not going to be chippy. I'm just going to.
I mean, he was chippy, but yeah. By relative to expectations, he did. He gritted his teeth to an extent.
He sort of took it. But I also think I would imagine he's probably a bit bereft at the moment, because he did make reference to the shortness of the off-season and maybe a little bit of a hangover from the end of last season and the success he had. And he said, I wouldn't change it because obviously I loved it. But
wouldn't change it, but I will complain about it.
He also said that it's always a trade-off between having longer holiday and a shorter training block in the off-season. But this wasn't about that.
Wasn't.
This was about delivering on the stage that you're on. Last night, Stefanos Tsitsipas, who had a very similar length season, you know, he played the next-gen finals and won it. A week later, Zverev won the ATP finals. Not that much different. You know, he went out there and he just dealt with the situation. And at the Slams, Zverev is not doing that. It is as simple as that. And we have multiple samples of it now. And he's got to find a way.
And today is... And, you know, from his perspective, it's all about... Well, from every tennis player, every sports person's perspective, it's all, you know, it's all about the cliche of taking positives from stuff. Well, if the general trend is upward, even if you're not quite reaching your goals, there's something to take from that. If the general trend is is a sharp decline, which is what today was. I mean, it was borderline unprofessional. He was completely unable to problem solve out there. We've seen a lot of top players be in very challenging positions. Naomi Osaka against Su Weishe, we talked about that the other night. He didn't really even seem to try anything, did he? No. I mean, he just sort of said today that, oh, my, you know, I didn't have any rhythm on my second serve, and that was tough. But it was an awful lot more than that. Raonic was brilliant, by the way, and I love the way he's playing. I love how much he's obviously embraced what Goran Ivanišević has to say.
Yeah.
Because not all of these players are willing to embrace change to their game, especially not, you know, Raonic is 27 now. And to have someone say, you're not using your game right, you know, I think Goran had an element of frustration with that with Thomas Burdick.
Mm.
And Burdick was, to an extent, unwilling to take it on. But Raonic has said, OK, I've employed you for a reason, I'll make these changes. And I'm so pleased for him, because he came into the interview room with me earlier, and first couple of questions I asked him, you know, about his form, how well he's playing, and he gave me really good but very Milos Raonic-y answers, you know, very structured, considered, methodical, pragmatic, you know, talking about aggression and process and all of that. And then I said, how tough's it been, Milos, the last couple of years, watching these young guys come through and get talked about and having to, on and off, pretty much sit on the sidelines and watch it happen and just cross your fingers and hope that your time will come. And suddenly he sort of clicked out of interview mode and clicked into sort of pouring your heart out mode. And it's obviously, because I don't think he could put a positive spin on it. I think it has been awful, and I'm delighted for him.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, Sasha Zverev is... there are elements about him that I enjoy. I think he has the potential to be very good for tennis, but too much about his attitude at the moment reeks of entitlement to me, and I don't like that.
You talked about the problem-solving element. We've got a perfect example here of Simona Halep, a player against whom she's lost 8 out of 9 matches. She comes on the court, she loses 6 games in a row, first set 6-1, and she's found a way to come back and make this into a contest, a third set. And that is the thing, really, with Zverev at the moment. If you've got a serve like that, if you've got a physicality like that, if you've got a game like that, you don't lose the first two sets 6-1, 6-1. And Raonic was very, very good. He weren't that good.
He didn't need to be. He was as good as he needed to be. He played a smart game. He was very good in terms of his tactics, I thought.
Yes.
Which was... it wasn't just a sort of buck-she kind of charge to the net whenever possible. It was a very smart approach to being more in the forecourt.
Yes.
But I don't know. We could pick apart a lot of what Sasha Zverev has to say about himself and the stuff about the off-season and everything. But, you know, what was it 4 days ago he told us his body was absolute perfection?
I think that was a joke. I think that was a joke. I thought it was a joke.
He was making fun of himself in the way he said, but what he was
calling himself an asparagus because of his build.
Okay.
He was making fun of himself. But look, I do think he has a very high opinion of himself and thinks it should happen, I believe. And he's working incredibly hard, I think, to try to make it happen.
He is working hard.
There is a disconnect somewhere. Something's not happening, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think when you've got the stories of Francis Tiafoe, Danielle Collins, you know, Ash Barty leaving tennis, like, I love how the absence of taking anything for granted, the total lack of entitlement, the preciousness of it all to them, and the perspective.
Some of it is the media and the people around him that have also assumed that it's going to happen, keep telling him that it's going to happen, and I think it must be quite hard for that not to seep into your subconscious, even if it's not at the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, TFO's had it in America, though.
Yeah.
Not to quite the same extent and not quite the global scale, but I'm saying that is a thing that happens.
It is, and but he has also come through just such a different type of life, hasn't he, that I suspect that has kept him grounded.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. But, you know, it is what it is, isn't it? We all... That's an explanation. It's not an excuse.
To find a way to deal with it.
Yeah.
But look, no matter what you say, he's got to figure it out. Otherwise, he's going to... And the danger is that this keeps happening and the scar tissue does build. Because that felt a bit like
scar
tissue.
How long is Lendl sticking around for?
The year, I think. I don't think he would bail out before the end of the year. Unless they had a massive row, I don't think so. Just a couple of other scores here. We're going to have to come back at the end of the play here because there's a lot going on and we want to be able to get this result of Serena and Halep in. So Grand Matamil will certainly come back and update you on where we are with that. But let's just get Catherine's view quickly on. So Osaka came out from a set to love down. Again, another wonderfully... a wonderful exercise in perseverance. Really, maturity.
Yeah. Not dissimilar to what the sort of emotional chart that she had to follow in the Su Wei Shea.
Yes, exactly
match,
right.
Shea
yeah.
Su Wei match
against Sevastova. So canny.
So canny. I mean, her demeanour on court is so abysmal.
Yes.
I know she's aware of it and.
It must cost her a couple of games.
It must. I mean, does she think that... Is it a sort of John McEnroe thing of thinking, oh, I need to do this to fire myself, this is how I get the best out of myself? Or is it just I can't help it kind of a thing? I don't know. Her demeanour is so appalling.
Yeah, it is awful.
But her game is... canny is exactly the right word. She's tricksy. Sevastova and Osaka had to be good today, very good.
Yeah. Victory today for Elina Svitolina over Madison Keys. That was a well put together win in the end.
Yeah, not the best match. They never really played. Both of them played well in spurts, but never at the same time. Yeah. It was one of those. But you know, the period during which Keys was playing well, Svitolina was just getting hit off the court.
Yeah.
So for her to keep her head and sort of wait that out, wait for the purple patch to run out. She did well though.
We have at the moment Kane Ishikori, two sets to love down against Pablo Carreño Busta. I don't remember the last time I said the name Pablo Carreño Busta.
US Open 2017.
I mean, crikey, a lot has happened to a lot has not happened to him basically in the last 2 years in terms of good stuff. But anyway, we'll see how that develops. At the moment, Lucas Puy of France, 28th seed, and I'm going to have to go and talk on the radio in a minute, but I just have to tell you that Lucas Puy of France is currently 2-1 ahead against Borna Coric, which is a heck of a good scoreline. And he's also 6-2 up now. He's got 4 match points. And he has done it. Lucas Puy, coached by Emily Moresmo. I do encourage you to go and read Ben Rothenberg's piece in the New York Times on their relationship, which is required reading. It's really, really good read. And Puy is having his best Grand Slam in years. I mean, he's reached quarterfinal before, I believe, at a Grand Slam, but he's been in the doldrums.
US Open 2016, of course, when he beat Nadal, big announcement onto the stage moment, and he's flattered to deceive since then, and I've been quite harsh on him at times, but I really am pleased. I, for reasons I'm sure everyone can guess, I'm very pleased that coaching relationship is panning out, and I hope to be able to talk to maybe even the both of them about it at some stage in the next few days, because it's a big story, that. It's a big story personally, you know, on a wider level. She's got a better coaching record than Andre Agassi at the moment.
She sure has. We'll be back in a few minutes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So a few hours later, and Serena Williams has completed victory against Simona Halep. It was an absolutely fantastic final set in which, really, I thought Halep was going to get the job done at one point because she was setting up break points, she was moving Williams around very well, and then suddenly Williams just started going for it, and she ripped the match from the hands of Simona Halep. That was my assessment. Grad Mats here, what did you think?
I wholeheartedly agree, yes. Oh. Probably one of the best matches of the tournament, certainly one of the best matches Serena's played since she's come back from giving birth. And she was forced, I mean, her level was so high anyway, and she was forced to raise it even more because, as you said, Halep was moving so well and moving the ball around, and it was just overall a wonderful, wonderful match.
Yeah, it really was. It was a fantastic match and a great atmosphere afterwards. They both spoke very warmly of each other, and I think Halep's got a lovely way about her, in as much as she kind of says, yeah, I'm the world number one, but she's Serena Williams.
She's the best player in the world. You know? Also, she had a great quote. She said at the start of the match, it was like being hit by a train.
The way
Serena came out firing after Halep broke in the first game.
Six games in a row. We come to you now, midway through the Novak Djokovic against Daniil Medvedev match, which is, as we speak to you, 2-1 for Djokovic. It's been a fantastic contest. I mean, some of the rallies are extraordinary, 30 to 40 shots long, and Medvedev has done a brilliant job of living with him, and he's eventually just being ground down. It was one set all. A pivotal moment, really. Djokovic took a tumble, and which was a bit of a concern for a second, and he was at love 40. He gets a bit down in the dumps when he falls over and stuff like that. I've noticed Djokovic. He went love 40 down, 2-1 down, and Medvedev didn't take those chances. And then it was just a complete write-off the rest of the set. And by the end, Medvedev was actually tanking at the end of the set, and he lost it 6-2. He's now 2-1 down as we speak to you for Djokovic. So I think this is probably going to be done in four sets. Catherine Whittaker's back. Hello, Catherine.
I'm back.
Yeah, she went to go. Where did you go?
Well, I have been here. The last assignment I had was 5 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And I spent 4 of the last 5 hours watching Kei Nishikori come back from 2 sets to love down.
Again.
And then another hour waiting for Kei Nishikori to turn down our interview request.
Oh,
no.
Oh, dear. That's not very much fun, is it? Okay, well, let's cheer up. let's cheer up, Catherine.
We talk about Kei Nishikori.
It's been a beautiful ride, and I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah. So anyway, let's cheer up Catherine. Anybody got any jokes? No.
It's not jokes about Kei Nishikori.
Right, okay.
Why did he take an hour to even give a press start? I assume it's because he was busy watching Djokovic to know...
Catherine, I mean, the guy was on fumes. No,
I'm not saying to come to press to even give a time. Right. That time could have been 3 hours. And yeah, he could have said,
or maybe he might have been.
You've caught me in the aftermath of a brief moment of despair, David.
Yes. Well, now we're going to cheer you up. At least you're not feeling as bad as Pablo Carreño Busta, who was absolutely. I've never seen him lose his temper before.
No, well, he's just apologised in press conference.
Has he?
Yeah. There was a. I mean, this is how much of a big moment it was. It was a packed Pablo Carreño Busta press conference.
Crikey.
And
it was big.
He basically just said sorry.
Because
he had that match in his hand. I mean, frankly, his biggest apology will be to himself. He had the match in his hand.
Two sets to love up.
Yes.
Nishikori forces a fifth. He was then 8-5 up in the final set tiebreak. And then there was this issue where I think the ball landed on the line, but he tried to challenge, and the umpire didn't let him challenge.
No,
is that right?
Well, he did. Well, what happened was the ball landed on the line, and it was a sitting duck of a shot for Nishikori, who hit it and hit it away for a winner. However, just after Nishikori hit it away for a winner, the line umpire called it out, and Pablo Carreño Busta did challenge, and the umpire did allow him to challenge. But when it was revealed that actually it was in, the umpire didn't let the point be replayed. He said, oh, well, it didn't affect Nishikori, it didn't affect you, it's Nishikori's point. Now, I see what he's saying, but the fact that he let Pablo Carreño Busta challenge, you then have to honour the result of the challenge, and it should have been a replay of the point.
Yeah. And then Carreño Busta just went ballistic.
He just went berserk. He started, my Spanish swear words buzzer was on, and they were all coming out. Yeah.
Oh. I mean, the match...
You've got a buzzer.
The match should have been done and dusted.
Yes.
I was watching that with some very blunt Aussie cameramen, and one of them just goes, why does he keep hitting it back to him? And you know when you suddenly see something through fresh eyes, and I suddenly started watching it and I was like, he is just hitting it, but they're just hitting it back to one another. It was like they just didn't want the rallies to end. And then the screen flicked over to Djokovic Medvedev at its most sort of pivotal moment. I mean, all energy seems to have drained from that match because Medvedev is physically gone, which is a worry, really, after, you know... He was gone after three sets.
But he's not hardened to it, is he?
No.
I mean, when you're court level, watching somebody trying to live with Djokovic, which is where we are, we're behind the players, and we're literally sitting on the ground of the court, and the physicality of it, I can't get my mind around what they're doing, what they're having to do, what you have to do to stay with Djokovic. Yeah. And he was actually grinding Djokovic down at one point, but it's the resilience. It's his ability to come again.
It's the relentlessness. I do think, though, that I think, first and foremost, Djokovic is the best male tennis player in the world right now and still the heavy favourite for this title. But I also think he is more beatable than he was last time he was dominant. When I think back to three years ago and that final against Andy Murray, that same Andy Murray would probably beat this Djokovic in this final. There are chinks there, you know. He was up a break in that second set. Medvedev worked his way back in at the start of the third set. The moment you described with the fall and everything, he was seriously rattled there. Yeah. Shapovalov throwing away that third set. I still believe he's good enough, and perhaps the opposition isn't as high, and therefore he will win this title.
I think Nadal tonight, if Nadal was fully fit, would probably fancy this.
Yeah.
But look, Djokovic can probably find other gears.
He's giving people reason to believe maybe he's beatable, whereas a couple of years ago...
There was no hope.
There was no hope for anyone. There was no glimmer. Daniel Medvedev's having a vigorous thigh rub.
Yes, I could do with one of those. Yeah. But anyway, it's two sets to one. It looks like that's going to be over. Let's just have a quick look at the order of play for tomorrow before we depart for the night. What have we got tomorrow in the evening session?
Session is Barry against Kvitova. They've put it on first. Congratulations. Right decision. And that's followed by...
Who's she playing?
Kvitova, and that's followed by Nadal against
Tiafoe.
Tsitsipas is on first tomorrow against Bautista Agut, and that's followed
No.
Yeah?
Goran Ivanišević and Wayne Ferreira. Mansell Bahrami and Mark Fidipusis.
Ivanišević, no-show at Legends All Access Hour earlier.
Well, I think he had a good excuse, didn't he? His bloke was on the court.
Well, actually, Ranić got the job done so quickly, Goran could have scooted his way over there. But
so, yeah, then it's Bautista Agut against Tsitsipas, not before 12:30 local time.
Pavlyuchenkova-Collins. I think Collins isn't done here yet.
Yeah, me too. I think she's going to get... I tell you what, there's going to be some serious aggro in that match.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pavlyuchenkova doesn't take a step back either.
David's agrometer
I can't wait.
Already.
Kvitova, Barty in the evening session. Then it's Tiafoe against
Kvitova, Barty's the one, isn't it?
And there's no other matches, are there? There's no other outside courts.
It's funny. Well, there's loads of doubles matches. They shut down Melbourne Arena earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's Melbourne Arena is done for the tournament, and it makes me start feeling weird and sentimental when
it's
that starts
Monday.
Happening.
Welcome
I know,
to the Australian
when they
Open.
Turned the lights off on court three earlier, I felt a bit hollow inside.
Oh dear. Oh, hollow.
It's the buzz of the outside courts that makes a Grand Slam.
Yeah. Tennis mania for the first few days.
Tennis mania.
It is. Talking of tennis mania and getting a proper flavour of the tournament, go and read Matt's blog. Daily blog on the Tennis Podcast website. It's a fantastic read every single day. Sign up to our newsletter as well on the Tennis Podcast website. We'll also post a link on Twitter. We are doing our daily predictions. Most of them are appalling. They're all in the newsletter. Go to our Instagram page. We've got all that.
Hey.
What?
What did we have today?
I don't know. What do we have today?
Predictions-wise.
I can't remember.
Yours. Well, you're bringing this up because yours was correct.
Might be.
Catherine got hers right. I didn't.
I wasn't allowed to pick that because you were picking that. Right. So I went for Sevastova over Osaka. So that was wrong.
Which,
not to worry. I nearly got Keys over Svitolina right, but I didn't. So, because it was Svitolina who won. Look, if you like this podcast, tell people you know. Okay, so that we can grow our audience. Do that. Leave us a review on iTunes. All these lovely things. And we're going to be back with another one of these tomorrow. The Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com. And our mascot is Rio the dog with a Y. Rio with a Y. We'll see you tomorrow.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.